my own age, which is 78. So about 10 years ago, I was at a thyroid meeting, and it was in an endocrine society meeting in Long Beach. And one of my close friends, who actually was a fellow in the laboratory of Jerry Hirschman at the VA here back about 25 years ago, Margaret England. And Margaret was a fellow, and I was helping out there, teaching and doing things. And Margaret and I actually published the paper together, and then she became an endocrinologist, and she was in Beverly Hills. And anyway, she saw me, we went out to take a walk at lunchtime, and I was kind of walking like this. And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, my knees, they're going nuts." What are you doing about it? I said, I take glucosamine chondroitin. I gave up on that. It doesn't do any good. No. Save your pocketbook. It's expensive. In fact, they've been sued for all of the false claims. Yeah. The company that... No. Glucosamine chondroitin. Okay, so she said, "Joe, have you had your vitamin D checked?" I said, "No." Okay, so we had my vitamin D checked. It was very low. So she gave me a prescription, which I would take once a week, I don't know, 500 micrograms of vitamin D3, before it was popular. And she gave me a prescription for it, and I started taking it, and my knees were fine. All my joints were screwed up. They were hurting, and they weren't hurting anymore. So I was really low on vitamin D. Then we talked about my memory. I think I can remember that, yeah. So we talked, I was actually seeing a neurologist once a year, getting checked for my memory because it was going downhill really bad. She said, "Let's check your TSH." So she checked my TSH, and it was higher than 4. Now, it was still within the normal range, but it was on the high end of the normal range. She said, "Joe, you need some T4. I resisted it. I did not want it. I fought her on it. And the reason I didn't is because once you start taking it, it suppresses your thyroid gland. I wanted my natural, normal thyroid gland to be working." Well, she said, "I'll just give you the tiniest amount." She gave me 12 or 13 micrograms, the smallest pill that you could get. I took it, my brain lit up, literally lit up. I tell my colleagues at the American Thyroid Association every year that, and they don't believe me, that happened. I get laughed at. Hey, that's okay. A lot of Nobel laureates got laughed at for their discoveries, etc. No discovery. I have what's called subclinical hypothyroidism. And because of my age and whatever other conditions are associated with it, I was low on thyroid, and it was very clearly indicated in a high TSH, high normal TSH. She said, "We've got to get your TSH below 2. Well, it's about 2.3 now. I'm fine. And now I take 50, which is too much, really. 37 and a half is enough. So I could take the 25, take 50 one day, 25 the next day, and get 37 and a half. But I'm lazy, so
I come across as being pre-wired.
Yeah, thank you. You confirm it.
But maybe not
take any pills
at all.
Yeah, no, then you wouldn't. I don't need that. No, I'm going to minimize all of this. I don't want to take too many things. I do take some vitamins. I don't need them because I eat exceptionally well. So I don't do that. But I do take the thyroid hormone. My brain lit up. I feel a lot better. I'm a little wired, like you say. And that's because I should be taking 37 and a half instead of 50. And only because I'm lazy to put the thing in every other day like that. Right? I'll do it this week, and I'll do the experiment again. No, I try not to do any of those things. I do take B12. That helps the neuronal transmission too. So my main ones are D3 and B12. That's for me. I'm not recommending that. I do tell my friends who have joint problems to have their D3 checked. If it's normal, then you don't need it. But if it's not, if it's below normal, you need it. Have B12 checked too. No, it's a very specific. It's in the B. I don't know how they label those things. Oh, meat. I see meat. Maybe. No, right. But I don't eat meat. I eat very little. No, I agree with that philosophy completely, but I try to avoid meat. Every time I eat meat at dinner time, I can't sleep. I'm an old man. My stomach is heavy. I eat fish, veggies, and fruit. I also swim almost every day, so that's another thing. Okay. So all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very interesting to me because I'm a retired RN and once had a patient with Graves' disease, which I don't understand. Could you briefly go over the mechanism for that?
Yeah, so Graves' disease is when it's an autoimmune disorder in which you have an antibody, I think, to the TSH receptor. And what it does is it binds up the receptor, I think, it is approximately, and causes the TSH receptor to be on all the time. Now, that means that it doesn't matter whether TSH is there or not. That means that the receptor is sending out those million molecules through the cyclic AMP all the time, telling the thyroid cells to make more and more and more thyroid hormone. So, a heart donor, right.
Everything that he had.
Yeah. I know, I've learned to respect my diet, and I do try to get all my vitamins through food, except that one. Yeah, and I eat meat, but I eat very little of it and very seldom, because it hurts. That's the only reason, not because I'm afraid of it, and also because if people who don't eat any meat don't get colon cancer. My wife. Well, not 100%, right. My wife came home the other day, just 2 days ago, showing me the pictures of her colon. She had a colonoscopy. Oh, my God, it was so beautiful. Yeah. It was the cleanest tube I have ever seen. Perfect, like a baby's colon. Yeah. And she's 70. It was very impressive. But you're right. No, it's not 100%, but...
May I come back to your program?
Yeah.
I have a bit of a criticism there in that your program doesn't seem to take into account at all the two enantiomers of the T4.
Right. You mean LT4 versus D? You mean...
Well, now, as chemists, we say that, but biologists say T3 and RT3.
Oh, reverse T3. Okay, good. So let me talk about that. Right. So he's referring now to the metabolism of the thyroxine molecule. I'm sorry, I don't have a picture of that here. So thyroxine gets, let's say, degraded to T3 by taking away an iodine from the outer ring. Outer ring deiodination by a D1 enzyme turns it into T3, the active hormone. If it's inner ring deiodinated, and there's two rings on thyroxine, then it becomes what's called reverse T3, totally inactive. Okay, totally inactive. Dr. James Hennessy, who gave the talk at UCLA a couple of weeks ago, talked about reverse T3 and how it's being used in his environment as a diagnostic tool. And I don't remember the details. It's not, but I do remember he presented evidence from his long studies that poo-pooed the use of reverse T3 in diagnosing. But what effect does it have? Sure. But I always look at reverse T3 as something it's an inactivated thyroxine. And if it's inactive, it can only go, only if it got reactivated would something happen to it? Or if it got involved in some other pathway. So maybe that's what you're referring to. I see. Sure, sure.
That's important.
I agree. Mammalian metabolism is very, very complex. And you know, I once got a lecture from a physiologist on this, who was lecturing me because I've always done work on rats and other animals. Incidentally, Hirschman reviewed my paper in Clinical Endocrinology. So if you click on one of those, his review of thyroxin is there. No. I'm saying that the metabolism of thyroxin includes activating the thyroxin by making T3 out of it, or deactivating thyroxin. And to my knowledge, from the thyroid system only, not its interaction with others, it deactivates the T4 forever. And then it can become, from reverse T3, it can become any one of two T2s, and then T1, and then T0.
You said it removes the iodine.
Yeah, removes the iodine. No. No, yeah. That iodine actually...
You're putting iodine in your body, which I do.
No.
It helps the tremendously.
The iodine that comes off T4, yeah, and become from reverse T3 and works its way down, every time an iodine comes off... It gets recycled back to the thyroid. So all iodine in the system is just absorbed by the thyroid against a concentration gradient of 20 to 1. So just sucks it up like a sponge. So it comes off, so it's efficient. It's an efficient cycle. Yeah. Say again? Yeah.
On the iodine question, you should have a normal amount of iodine in your diet for your thyroid to work properly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We get it from anything made with flour. Flour has a lot of iodine. Red. Eggs.
Iodized salt.
Iodized salt, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to get too much, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Americans don't have a problem with iodine because we have enough of it in our diets if you eat normally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There are pockets in the world of iodine deficiency, and they have goiter. Spain, some places in South America. Right. But that's because, fish also. Inland Spain, there are problems, not near the coast. Because, Okay, so let me move on here to, so here you've seen the picture, it, for real. This is a picture of the picture. This is the 5-day responses. And here, What have we done here? We've reduced T4 secretion to 50%, T3 secretion to 50%. I'm calling this untreated me. So I think that's where I was 5-10 years ago when I started doing this. And my TSH was up there. Hey, right about there too. Now up in that upper normal range. We're looking at the average of the sinusoid, not the peaks. Right? And so I was up here. And so I started taking a little bit. And when I, so this is what it did to my T4. So the T4 only came down slightly, almost perfectly normal. T3 came down slightly, almost perfectly normal. But the TSH says, no, it's not perfectly normal. That's the sensitive measure. And that's why when we go to the doctor, they typically use TSH as a screening tool. But you should ask him to do T4 too. Not necessarily T3, because T3 doesn't matter that much unless you've got some other special condition. T4 and TSH. TSH. This is the one that's the best screening tool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. TSH, T4. Clinical labs do T3 too. I'm just writing a paper now about why that's not a very good indicator of abnormalities. The reason is because it's too complicated. It comes from anywhere, T3. And if you have a very large pool over here, okay, let's say in the liver, and you lose half of it, the blood, which holds only 3% of the T3, has just gotten enormously increased. Does that tell you what's happening in the liver? No. Liver just went down by 50%. T3 went up by tenfold. Yeah, the wrong way. So that's why I'll give you an extreme example. But T4 follows what's going on, blood, T4 follows what's going on in the thyroid gland. TSH then is a very sensitive measure of that. Okay, so this is me, untreated. Okay, let's treat me. Here's my 50 micrograms, my too much. 50. And now we can see what happens. My T4 goes up. Now I'm in the upper, like the 375% quartile there, upper quartile of normal. T3 changed a little bit. What did it do? Went down, like I just gave you in that example. What about TSH? Yeah, I dropped it down. And the average here is about a little less than 3. That's about where I am. So that's why I feel okay with 50. But 37.5, if I put that in there, you won't see any difference. But you will see a difference if I put nothing that was on the previous slide. That's nothing. Okay? So it makes a difference. And it's thyroid hormone is called an NTI drug. It has a narrow therapeutic index, meaning you got to have just the right amount to feel right. If you don't have enough, you feel sluggish, you can't think. The light bulb goes out. You get too much, the light bulb burns out. Okay, so...
what's the difference between a 25 and a
37.5? No, you won't see any difference.
If you have a 25, you eliminate that to 0. Would it be a...
Oh, you'll see big... if you don't have very much function, you'll see your normal function approached. Okay, but let me show you what happens then when you go to the health food store and secretly, which means don't tell your doctor, that you're buying thyroid support pills because you want to feel better. Yeah.
Okay, my question had to do with sometimes I wake up late and I don't really want to wait a half an hour for breakfast. How much difference is that going to make, and should I wait a couple of hours and have thyroid on an empty stomach later?
Okay, I do the same thing. I make my breakfast, and it's about a half hour later that I start eating it. And sometimes I forget. And if I forget, then I'll take it in the afternoon. And if I forget in the afternoon, I'll take it at night. I used to just take it at night. It doesn't matter. As long as you should take it without a meal, because then you'll prevent absorption. And that's the only reason. Also, avoid any soy products when you take it, because soy inhibits thyroid absorption.
And iron,
apparently, yeah, right. But soy is more common. We eat a lot of soy bean things. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Well, I don't try to remember anymore. I just use the container. My wife was laughing at me for a long time with that, but she needs it now too. How could we? It's just too many things. Yeah, yeah.
What about soy oil?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Soy oil. It's a very common thing I see in a lot of like veggie burgers and all that. They'll have soy oil.
Well, any soy product is going to inhibit if you just taking your oral dose. I think they recommend 4 or 6 hours before taking any soy product. Soy oil will get absorbed more quickly, and it'll probably have a bigger effect.
Yeah. Well, I always eat Prager's. Prager's, they look like hamburgers. They're made out of vegetables.
Well, I mean, they're great. I eat a lot of soy, but not when I take my pills.
Okay, thank you.
That's all. Yeah, whenever I can get soybeans fresh, I boil them and eat them. Yeah. Okay, so let's see. What do we have here? So that was untreated. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yes, health food stores. I'm going to show you now some situations. That was me. Okay, so this might help answer your question earlier. So if I take we start at normal values at time zero for TSH. TSH now punched down because the range now is no longer like 0 to 4 or 5, it's 0 to 80. So this is an expanded scale. So, what have we done here? We've done three experiments. One is normal. The first one is reduce thyroid secretion to 1% of normal, 1% for T4 and T3. Give a period. So what happens? T4 will drop way below normal, well below the normal range. Why? Well, it's like taking away the thyroid gland. There's no more T4 being secreted. T3, same thing. Within a matter of a couple of days, you're sick. And you're very sick here in this situation. How about reducing it to 10%? I don't have that in those numbers here, but that was done. 10%, we're now low normal T4, low normal T3, and still well above normal, average 10 here. That's hypothyroid and TSH. So this is basically gives you an idea about how dynamic the gland is in response to being cut down in a supply. So that big source organ is made smaller by 99% or 90% here. Okay, so now let's look at the clinical applications for public health. So we just published this paper just 2-3 weeks ago. And Tharasim is on the cover. I'm very proud of that. They put the picture on the cover. That's a big coup for math in a clinical journal. But it took 50 years. I'm still here. So a couple of years ago, in 2013, a group at the Mayo Clinic went to the food store, bought 10 varieties of thyroid support pills, and didn't label them. I wish they had said what they were, but I guess they're afraid of getting sued. I don't know why. Some of them are illegal. Explain. That doesn't mean you can't get sued. This is the table of results they published. Now, it's complicated, but I'll just explain. So, 2013. Right. So, samples 1 to 10. They measured a couple of precursors. Here, iodine, L-tyrosine is how much iodine there is in the pills, how much L-tyrosine there is in the pills. These can be added. How much T4 there is in the pill, micrograms per tablet. T3, micrograms per tablet. Recommended daily dose. This is what on the bottle they said you should be taking. And this is the total daily doses here. Okay. Now let's see. So I'm going to talk about 3, 4, 5, 9, and 10. 3 here has about 23 micrograms of T4, 4 micrograms of T3, says takes 4 capsules a day. That means 92 micrograms a day. That's twice as much as I take. To a normal person, to support their thyroid function. Natural. No, I'm going to show you why it's not. Okay. All right. So next, total T3 about 17. Right. Let's look down here. Here's one of the more interesting ones. So 4 has undetectable T4. Undetectable, 4 and 5 have virtually undetectable T4 and 5. This was done on very sensitive column chromatography. No, radioamino assays. T3, 8, and 5, and here's the dosage they recommend. No T4 showed up in the blood. This is how much total daily dosage of T3. I'm sorry, no T4 in the dosages. Now, where did they get this T3? This was the big question. Now, you can get a combination of T4 and T3 by taking thyroid glands from anything, because it has both. So a desiccated thyroid has T4 and T3. But in order to get pure T3, you had to buy it or be given it. Without T4, it can only be manufactured. So this stuff was manufactured and not then presented to the FDA as a legal drug. So this is an illegal drug. And the thing is, you have no idea what else is in it. We only know how much T4, T3, and these other things are in it. Pretty much. It's a very simple molecule. It's an iodinated amino acid, essentially. Very simple molecule. It weighs 700, roughly 700 molecular weight. Okay, so we took then these yellow pills and we gave them to Thyrosim, the simulator. That's what simulators are for. I'm not going to give it to people. We give it to the simulator. And if the simulator is truthful, it'll tell us what it'll do to people. And so this is what we discovered it would do. So here's a euthyroid subject. Euthyroid means normal. You have normal thyroid function. The blue, taking supplement number 4, which is green, as directed. 16 microgram of T3 twice a day. And we started here on day 1, so you can see what happens, or 2, I think. So normal, and on day 2 they start taking it, blue, down goes T4. Okay. So they're suppressing their T4 very significantly, whereas as they were normal before, now they're abnormal, abnormally low on T4. How about T3? Spiking like crazy. They have a heart condition, they're in trouble. If they have brittle bones, maybe they're going to fall apart. You know, So I don't mind exaggerating a little bit on this because I think you got the point. Okay, abnormal T3 spiking. And what about TSH? Does it pick all this up? No. Look what happens. We get TSH dips down to just about abnormal, and then it comes back to low normal. One, about one. One's great. If your doctor measures your TSH as a screening tool only, and you didn't tell him you're taking these pills, he has no idea that you're in a very sad thyrotoxic state. This is thyrotoxicosis. Yeah. People go to the hospital with thyrotoxicosis. Okay, here's a different set of pills. Now we have 20 micrograms of T3 and 25, that's the just blue, and then green now 25 micrograms of T3 and 9 T4 we're adding to that. So how is the added T4 going to change things? So the T4 here didn't change much. The T3 for the blue was spiking up like crazy. It actually suppressed the, that's spiking up like crazy. And here's the TSH. Again, we're back in the low normal range. So the spiking TSH, the high TSH on the green one here didn't get picked up so much, because it didn't suppress the pituitary as much. It's still low normal, but not as much. But the blue now, which is really spiking, because it's only T3. So giving only T3 is not a good idea ever. It really does make trouble. But again, we couldn't detect this because if we only measured TSH. When I presented these things at the American Thyroid Association meeting last year, as a poster, the poster right next to me was why only TSH needs to be measured when assessing thyroid function. Yeah, and when people came and looked and they said, yeah, my patients lie to me all the time about that. I even asked them and they said, no, I'm not taking any of that stuff. Okay, here's supplements number 3, 2, and 2 combinations with a little mixture of T3 and T4. And again, we have the pituitary gland doing its job, bringing things back into a normal range. But the TSH in one of these here, and the green one, this big dosage, because the T4 is a therapeutic dose, is really suppressed. So this is the thyrotoxic range. So these pills are giving this patient, turning them into a thyrotoxic patient. And their TSH, in this case, the physician might think this is normal. Though my two friends in Hawaii who were showing me their stuff, theirs was less than that, and the doctor thought that was great, because he was giving them T3 as well as T4. Okay, so the bottom line here really is that this stuff really causes diagnostic confusion at best. At worst, it causes thyrotoxicosis. And I hope that the FDA takes notice and starts requiring these supplements to be tested. They're right now totally unregulated. Okay. So I already demoed it. We can come back to that. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of an idea of what this other... let me answer questions about this. More questions about thyrosim and thyroid. Yeah. There are models of insulin and glucose regulation, yeah, and they could use our interface, which is the best around, because as you can see, it's easy to use, right, and easy to understand. That's the main thing. If it wasn't easy to use and understand, I showed you all what's underneath. When I showed this or even published it in thyroid before, it was ignored. Eyes roll over in the medical community. Why? Because it's math and they don't understand it. And I understand that they don't understand it, and that's why we did it. Yep. Well, they don't understand my math, but there are at least now accepting this stuff.
So is it now being used in clinical treatments for...
That's a good question. So I was asked why we did not put in a button to include a couple of parameters to individualize it for patients. And the reason that my reasoning for that was I don't want patients to use this to prescribe for themselves. In fact, there was a disclaimer on there you should take a look at. It says, don't use this in place of seeing an endocrinologist. If you have a problem, go to the doctor. Now, see a good endocrinologist, of course. But I've been convinced, because even the editor of Thyroid said to me, I think that, Joe, you should make this based on body parameters, make it anthropomorphic. And so basically, when you go to the doctor and you get prescribed thyroid, male or female, it's a little different. We're different. 9 out of 10 cases of hypothyroidism in America, at least, are in females. Females are very much more susceptible to hypothyroidism than males. Prescriptions are usually based on body weight. But that's not really quite correct, because fat doesn't need any thyroid hormone. So lean body mass is the correct way to prescribe. Lean body mass is not easy to estimate cheaply. You need big machines to do that. However, I have a student now, and there have been publications on how to estimate lean body mass from body weight, height, waist, and hip size. And those are important, particularly in the women. Okay? Because waist, skinny, wide hips, they're always going to have wide hips. They have wide hips, period. Right? It doesn't even when you add a lot of fat to that, it's still wide relative to the size of the waistline. So there are formulas now for estimating lean body mass based on those four parameters, which can be measured by the nurse when they come into the office. Yeah, but bone density is something that is not easy to measure, right? Yeah, but we need to be practical here. At least, well, bone density, that's another added, sure. If we had that, that'd be great. In fact, yes, for sensitive cases, I agree with you. But I'm just trying to make this practical. So we're gonna publish, not publish, we're gonna put up another version 1.3, is 1.2 of thyrosim that will have this formula in it so that you can put these couple of numbers in and then get a better estimate on an individualized basis of what the prescription should be. Absolutely. I'll be the first subject. I No, I'm not kidding. I haven't had it in a long time, but I sure would like to. Well, I'm waiting for the law to change. Right, right.
Okay, other questions on this?
Yeah. 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 I think, let's see. What? I've worried about that too. I've had too many friends with kidney stones, and it's so painful. Yeah. Right.
As an engineer, you know, if I do what we call the spectrographic analysis in the system, then I see what the problem is. Do the doctors use similar approach like the engineers who make the diagnosis?
You know, there's a physician at USC, at County, you know, she's an expert on that. Elaine Kaptain. Elaine Kaptain. K-A-P-T-E-I-N. I'll write it down for you later, okay? I would ask that question of her. She's an expert on the relationship between thyroid and kidneys. So that the answer will be there. Yeah, it could be. So I would ask Elaine Kaptain. Yeah, definitely. That's easy. You can call her up. Yeah.
Do you have any idea why women are 9 times as likely to get hypothyroid?
Somebody told me one time. I don't remember. I wish I could.
I would think from your analysis at the beginning where you said how important the thyroid is to baby development. Yeah. I would think maybe at that point in a woman's in the baby's development, there's a large production of these the T3, and so maybe that could be a contributing factor.
Well, but why it gets messed up in let's say women who've never been pregnant, I don't think you have to be pregnant to get thyroid disease. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm now remembering that my mother was hypothyroid. She took thyroid extract all the time, yeah.
I went going up the steps and, you know, not very perky.
Yeah. And now I'm just remembering now, my mother had 2 miscarriages before she had me. I'm guessing that because she was so hypothyroid and she wasn't getting enough hormone. Are you talking about yourself or me?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't worry about sugar in the pills at all. I really wouldn't. Do you have diabetes?
No.
Don't worry about it. Well, I agree with you. I try to avoid it like the plague.
No,
I agree with you. Okay, well, I guess you can push the thyroid somewhat further, but the best to just, it's one of the easiest things to take. And there are so many, I've met so many people like yourself who really are, you know, turned off because it didn't seem to work for them or it didn't work for them. Oh. Okay. Okay, I'm glad I'm not a physician, so you can't sue me or anything like that. But I'm telling you my experience and my life and my own personal experience. I love telling the story about the 12 micrograms and the light bulb lighting up, you know. And I keep saying it to those guys and gals who say, "Joe, it can't be." Well, it is.
Is it 12 or 4?
12 micrograms. Yeah. T4. I took 12 micrograms of T4, and the only—I'm not sure that they're even selling that anymore. The Tyrosint was a European brand, which they put in a little capsule, liquid capsule, so it's very pure. Ah, that's what you need, Tyrosint. That's nothing in it, just nothing. I think it's just saline and T4, Tyrosint. Yeah, they advertise very. That's right, that's available. Tyrosint. T-I or T-Y-R-O-S-I-N-T. That's right, it's expensive. But hey, that should work for you.